Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert, and you are listening to Let's Talk About Jesus. We're so glad that you've joined us today, right here on WMAF. If you're a return listener and have a family member or neighbor outside this listening area that you want to introduce to this great station, and they have a computer, tell them to type in WMAF Home, and if they can, and they can listen to this great programming. And that's just WMAF Home, and it'll take them to the homepage of this radio station, and it's our broadcast streams live from that station, and all the good programming on WMAF will be available. And so Let's Talk About Jesus will be on this station every Tuesday at 2 p.m. And if you are a brand new listener, we pray we'll mark that down. And if you're where you can, that you will stay tuned today. And if you enjoy the broadcast, that you will tune in again and make it part of your listening day. Our website address is THCOG. That stands for the Holy Church of God. We are a Tampa-based ministry. We've been pastored this church, been part of this ministry for 33 years, going on 34, and it's been a joy to minister in the Tampa area. We've had several radio outreaches, and but I can honestly say none that we feel as good about as we do being on the air here on WMAF. To you in Madison, Florida, we're so glad to be ministering in North Florida. We've never met any of you that listen to this station, and if you're a minister, we welcome you. We welcome you and we honor you, and we're grateful to be participating with you in the great harvest of the last days. And we pray that this will be a year of breakthrough in our ministry. We thought our ministry may change, and we not pastor here anymore a couple of years ago, three or four. But God has given us a new beginning, and we're just starting up again with the core of our congregation beginning again. And it's exciting to see what the Lord is doing, even while we are very few in number, of what God is doing. He is taking something very small in the eyes of man and doing something so powerful through it. I often call our ministry a poor boy's lunch ministry, because it's not significant in its size and number of people attending at this time. It is significant in the fact that the Lord has his hand upon it. And that's why we are reaching out. Our ministry in Tampa is the headquarters for this broadcast and other areas of ministry that the Lord opens to us. So we're just grateful to be coming to you today. If you listen on computer in another country, we welcome you. Please visit our website and tell someone else about WMAF and also this broadcast, Let's Talk About Jesus. A pastor, while shaking hands with folks after the morning service, asked a faithful Christian lady, "And how are you today?" She replied, "I'm somewhere between praise the Lord and help me Jesus." I think that's a pretty honest reply. There are great mountaintops and peaks in our life experience, and there are deep, dark valleys. We usually live somewhere between those peaks, we need help from the Lord. Whether you're on a mountaintop today, whether you're in a deep, dark valley, we need Jesus to sustain us in the good times and remind us of our dependence on him, and we need him in the deep, dark valleys of life to give us that sufficient grace, that peace that passes understanding, that strength that we don't possess in and of ourselves. Some people in those dark valleys and deep depressions turn to drugs, turn to alcohol. If Jesus could speak personally to you today, in person, he wouldn't point a condemning finger at you. He would never condone what you're doing, because it's self-destructive and it is sin. But he would not point a condemning finger at you. He said, "I didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to seek and to save that which is lost." I am so proud of the Master that I serve. It is my great privilege to proclaim him and present him unto you. I'm a fellow traveler on this journey of life, and I can say with the songwriter of old, "I once was lost, but now I'm found." Christ changed my life. And I'm not preaching today because I chose it as a profession. I am not a professional preacher. I am a God-called minister. And I would do this for Him in any way that I can. If I wasn't behind a pulpit, I would still share Christ. If I wasn't on this radio station, I would tell somebody about Jesus. Because of what He's done in my life and what I know that He can do in your life and other lives today. He not only seals us for heaven, He can change our life circumstance here and now. David put it so beautifully in the Psalm 23 when he said, "He restores my soul." You may think that it's past putting together. It's like breaking a vase that in so many shards and pieces that you can't get it all back together. And if you did, it would be ugly and grotesque. That is simply not the case. The scripture actually says that God can give you beauty for ashes. He can take something that is in total ruin and make something so wonderful and so beautiful out of. And He can give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God can change your life. And that is the great message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you today a little while out of the Psalms on the subject, Jesus, the helper of the helpless. Jesus is more than just a Savior. He is one who comes into our life to help us with everything that we face in life. I want to talk to you about this in terms of reassuming the posture of victory. You know, we bow under the load of care and burden. And God wants us to begin to lift up our head and have hope in our heart, faith in our heart. The only way to do that is for the Lord Himself to help us in our life. If you're a Christian with victory today, you have victory, not because you are such a great believer, such a great practitioner of the faith, but because you have a great and faithful God who is sustaining you. And that's why He gets the glory for our victories. Praise God. And because of that reason, because we give Him the glory for our victories, other people can take courage in their own heart and take hope in their own heart that God will help them as well. Let me begin reading from Psalm 3. I want to put a context for this today. It's a psalm of David while fleeing for his life from Absalom, his own son who turned against him, wanted to murder him and take his kingdom from him. If you think you've got big problems today, you join with others who have had equally huge problems in their life, heartbreaking, heart-rending situations. David was such a man. To me, this is a far bigger giant when your own son wants to kill you and take over your kingdom than the giant Philistine that David slayed. David had to fight a battle within and slay a giant within this time before he could hope to have a victory without. Let's read this together. Psalm 3. In this context, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. And then there's this wonderful little word, Selah, and it's capitalized, and most scholars believe it's a pause, but not just a pause in a musical score or a pause in the writing, but they take it further than that to mean, I want you to sit down and be still and quietly contemplate this. And this is what he wanted us to contemplate, that there are many people against us. There are many people, he says, that look at my circumstance and say, if he's got a God, he sure isn't doing very well in his life. There's no hope for him in his God. But listen to verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Let's salah that. Let's think about that. Let's get that crystallized in our mind and let's get it deep into our heart. But Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. Verse 4 says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. Here's this word, Selah, again. He says, you know, I want you to think about all the ones that are saying there's no help for you. But then I want you to declare that God is your shield, your glory. He's the one that is going to bring you out of your depression, out of your despondency, out of your despair, out of your defeat. And then he said, I cried to the Lord, and He heard me out of His holy hill. And for you that toss and turn, listen to verse 5. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. And one pastor going through a lot of church pressures was asked by a fellow minister who was concerned about him. He had big dark circles under his eyes and that look of consternation on his face. And he said, Pastor John, how you sleeping at night? And because he knew he was going through some challenging problems. And Pastor John replied, I'm sleeping like a baby, Pastor Johnson. I'm sleeping like a baby. I sleep about 3 hours, wake up and cry for a while, and sleep another three and wake up and cry again. That's a humorous little story, but I want you to know something. I have rolled and tossed with worry and concerns. I have went through nervous exhaustion where sleep fled from me. Exhaustion came upon me, but I couldn't close my eyes and go into peaceful, restorative sleep. It is so good, though, to come through a deep, dark valley like that and find that God does shield us in times like that. He does lift us up. David said, Thou hast delivered me from the horrible pit. And there's no pit as horrible as depression. Whatever brings it on, whatever triggers it, when you're in that deep, dark hole, it seems there is no way out. I'm declaring to you today what David said about the Lord. He's my shield. He stands up for me when I can't stand for myself. He's not only my shield, but He is my glory, and He is the lifter of my head. He said, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth to the Lord, and Thy blessing is upon Thy people. Selah. I want you to think about not only your trouble, but think about your God who listens when you cry to Him and responds to you in the time of trouble. And He wants that punctuation put on this, that Selah. He says, I want you to get this. Salvation, that means deliverance, belongs to the Lord, and Thy blessing is upon Thy people. Praise God. The Bible said in another portion of Scripture, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. You know what it's connotating to us today and saying to us is that it's not just getting the deliverance. It's not just being healed. It's not just being helped. It's not just having that financial need met or that marriage restored that should bring such praise from us. It's the fact that God responded to our cry because that His blessing is upon His people. Listen, if you're not a child of God today and you think becoming a child of God is going to take away your freedoms, take away your liberty, take away your pleasure that you gain momentarily from sin, I want you to know something. Becoming a child of God is not going to subtract from you. It's going to take away your pain. It's going to take away your fear. It's going to take away your guilt. It's going to give you a fulfillment that you don't have to pursue these dead end avenues that sin will lead you on, and the destruction that awaits at the end of your life. It's going to give you not just hope in eternity, it's going to give you hope in the here and now. David said in Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And one reason he could believe to see God's goodness, no matter what may befall him, is because he knew that by the ancient covenant with Abraham, that the blessing of the Lord is upon his people. You know, that covenant's in effect. It's just been enhanced by the new covenant, but it hasn't been done away with. The Bible said in the book of Galatians, they that are of the household of faith are Abraham's seed by faith, and the blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon them. What a blessing it is to be part of that covenant crowd, part of that group of people that have God's hand extended to them for good. And he's extended to them in such a way that he takes everything that touches our life and works them together for good, because we love the Lord. Hallelujah. And we are called according to his wonderful, powerful purpose. Hallelujah. One translation of verse 3 reads, Lord, you're the one who lifts my head high. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown, a very respected Bible commentator and commentary, says, in the midst of trouble, David, in great distress, with filial confidence, implores God and anticipates relief and offers praise. I like that. He implores God, anticipates relief, and offers praise. Hallelujah. He implores God's aid, anticipates relief, and offers praise. I love this little formula that comes out of this. If you're going through great tests, cry out unto the Lord. If you don't know him today, you can qualify for these blessings simply by asking him to come into your heart. Repent of your sin. Ask Jesus in to become your Lord, your personal Savior. You're brought into a regal family when you do that, a royal family. Hallelujah. Amen. You're brought into a position whereby you can claim the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you become the seed of Abraham by faith. And you can cry unto the Lord, and he says, I'm going to listen to you. You can pray in the name of Jesus, and God will be responsive to you. You can implore his aid, and you can have faith that he's going to come through. You can anticipate relief. And you know what that anticipation is? That's hope in the heart. That's what pulls you up out of the pit, is hope in the heart. Hope, biblically defined, is the glad anticipation of future good. No matter where you are right now, you can have a new beginning. You may be a Christian who slipped into despair and discouragement. I'm going to tell you, you're not the first one it's ever happened to. But I'm going to equally tell you today that the Lord wants to be your shield when you can't stand strong in yourself. The Lord wants to be your glory and the lifter of your head. He wants to be the one today that lifts you up right where you are by putting first hope in your heart. And then he wants you to do something as an act of faith so that he can continue to move in his salvation, his deliverance in your life. He wants you to begin to worship him right where you are, right in the circumstance that you're in, right when you feel so bad and things seem so dismal and the enemy of your soul is screaming in your ear, there's no help for you in God. Now, I'm telling you, he's a liar. He's the father of it. And I'm going to tell you another liar. Your circumstance is lying to you, because it's implying that God has forsaken you and God has somehow forgotten you. That is not true. When you fall down, Christ stands up. Praise God. He's our great intercessor. He's our advocate with the Father, and he cares deeply for you. You know, Jesus taught the wonderful principle of the sheep and shepherd, and he taught in the New Testament that the good shepherd leaves the 99, those that are safe within the fold, that are not in any kind of duress, not in any kind of threat or danger. And he goes after the one that is lost. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful a Savior that says it's the one that's having the trouble that I will give such personal attention? Listen, I'm on my mountaintop today. I know that there will be other times when I will find myself in a valley of circumstance, a valley of emotional strain and pressure. But I have learned whether I'm on the mountaintop or whether I'm deep in the valley, if I will cry out unto my God, He will be a shield for me. If I will implore His aid, and I will begin to anticipate relief. Hallelujah. Amen. If I will begin to cultivate that understanding of Him that says, no matter what you see, no matter what you sense, no matter what you feel, God is on the throne. His eye is on the sparrow. I know He's watching me. Then I begin to offer praise. I begin to offer praise. If you would praise God right where you are, right now, for who He is and what He's done in and through Jesus Christ on the cross for you and for me. Begin to thank Him that you have the privilege of coming into His presence and calling on Him. There's a scripture about Paul and Silas being placed in a Roman jail, and they were being held over for execution. And at midnight, the Bible said that they prayed and sang praises unto the Lord. Someone said that praise is the language of faith. If we're really praying in faith, then praise is the next thing we do after we seal our prayer with an amen. We begin to praise Him for the answer because we actually anticipate God's help in our life. The Bible said in the book of Hebrews, the great faith chapter, chapter 11, that they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him, that He responds to the cry of those who look to Him as their source. God listens. David said, that's why I love Him so much. You know, David couldn't enter into this spiritual communion relationship, this koinonia, this fellowship that we can enter into through the Holy Ghost being given. But David loved God because of how God responded to him when he cried unto the Lord. He said, I love the Lord because He's heard my prayer. I love the Lord because He heard my cry. I love the Lord because He heard my voice, turning His ear always to me. Isn't that beautiful? One translator says, He bends down and listens when I pray. Hallelujah. What a wonderful revelation David had of how God responds to the cry of those in need. We serve a merciful God. We serve a good God. We serve a God who listens when we call upon His great name. You may feel like heaven is brass. I'm going to tell you something today, and it's good news. That's nothing more than a feeling. And that feeling is so real, sometimes it wants to rise up and cancel the truth about God. That's why we have a Bible to tell us the truth about God. That's why God has preserved it down through the centuries, that we might go back to the book, hallelujah, and we might see in the book the character and the nature of the one that we serve, hallelujah. David said, the very day that I pray, my enemies turn back. This one thing I know, God is for me. Listen, even if you're a sinner today and you've sinned against God, God is for you in this sense. He doesn't want you condemned. He doesn't want you destroyed. He doesn't want you eternally punished. He wants you saved. God wants you as His child. God wants you in His heaven. And God wants to touch you right now. You know what would happen if your life changed right now? Radically, dramatically changed because of God's blessing upon you and upon your life? Others would see it and glorify Him. You'd never be a greater witness than you would be when people see what God is doing in your life. Can He do it? Absolutely. If he can speak a universe into existence, He can speak to the troubled waters of your soul. Hallelujah. And He can say, peace be still today. Will He do it? The Bible said, I'll tell you, God challenges you today. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in and sup with him, and him with me." After the Holy Spirit was given, there was a great promise given in the New Covenant, in the New Testament. "And it shall come to pass, as many as call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I'll tell you, when you cry unto God for forgiveness, you touch a great merciful heart that desires to forgive. When you cry unto God for deliverance, you equally touch His mighty, merciful heart who wants to set men and women free. You know what Jesus said when He walked into the temple? He opened up and began to read a prophecy concerning Himself when He began His public ministry at 30 years of age. He only ministered publicly for 3 years, but look what God did through Christ's earthly ministry. And He opened up and began to read the book after being tempted in the wilderness. And the Bible said all eyes were fastened on Him as He read. And He read, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He hath anointed me to set the captive free, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to preach the gospel to the poor, and to declare the acceptable year of the Lord." Hallelujah. All of those things that I just mentioned involves a setting free, involves delivering, involves breaking chains. That acceptable year of the Lord, if we traced it back in any reference Bible, it would take you back to the year of Jubilee, when bond slaves were set free from their indebtedness, free from their masters, given gifts and able to go and have that wonderful new beginning in absolute freedom. There's only one that can set us free from depression, one that can set us free from all of the pressures and heartbreaks and heartaches that living in a fallen world can bring upon us. And that is Jesus, the wonderful, wonderful Son of the living God. The Bible said, "Who the Son sets free is free indeed." There's no freedom like the freedom that God gives through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. David, in great distress, with confidence, implores God's aid and anticipates relief. So therefore, he offers praise. You know what happened while Paul and Silas was praising God? You know what come? God shook the prison. Their stocks fell off. Their hand manacles fell off. The prison doors were jarred open by the great shaking. And they walked out of that prison free men. Hallelujah. And when that wonderful event happened, then all in the prison that saw it came and began to look at what God had done. No one escaped. That's a wonderful, wonderful verse of Scripture many people miss. No one ran away. Convicted criminals didn't run because they knew there's a freedom that we can have here, greater than the freedom of running from our guilt, running from our sin, running from justice. There's a freedom in this man that is being proclaimed and preached here today. And the jailer fell down, said, "What must I do to be saved?" Went home and told his household, and they believed on Jesus Christ. I don't know what you need setting free of today. I don't know what your deep dark valley is. I don't know what holds you in chains. But I know who can set you free. I know who can shield you right now from all those circumstances that threaten to destroy you. I know who can be glorified in sending an answer to you and become your glory. And I'm one who's been in the deep pit of nervous exhaustion and depression, anxiety attacks. And I know the one that can set you free. It may not seem like it, but I'm a living, breathing example of a man not only set free from sin, but set free from the pain, the hurt, the pressure that life can bring upon one. David said, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For the Lord has been a shelter for me." Why don't you shelter in Jesus today? If you don't know Him, say, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive my sin. And if you do know Him and you're in a valley today, cry unto Him. Anticipate His help. And right where you are, right now, begin to give Him praise. He'll shake your prison. He'll set you free. Come back next week and let's talk some more about Jesus.